Hey everyone, Rachel Yucatel here from the Misunderstood podcast. Let's get real. How many of us feel consistently exhausted, struggling to focus with a to-do list that never ends? Trust me, I've been there. Recently, I've discovered something that's been a total game changer. Holistic Goddesses Bison Trifecta. It's a supplement made from freeze-dried bison organs, heart, liver, and kidney, all packed into convenient capsules. Since I started taking Bison Trifecta, my energy levels have soared and my mental clarity has never been better. It's been a lifesaver, especially as I navigate perimenopause and menopause. The best part, it's all natural with clean ingredients and no fillers. If you're looking for a boost, I highly recommend trying Bison Trifecta. And right now you can get 15% off with the code UNDERSTOOD at checkout. So go to holisticgoddess.com and learn more. HOLISTICGODDESS.com and use the code UNDERSTOOD. You won't regret it.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Cindy Adams is a legendary American gossip columnist, journalist, and television personality whose career has spanned over six decades. Born in 1930 in New York City, Adams first entered the world of celebrity reporting in the early 1950s, becoming a fixture in the city's vibrant media landscape. She gained prominence writing for the New York Post, where her daily column became a must-read for millions, filled with her distinctive mix of wit, insider scoops, and unapologetically bold commentary. Adams' career has been marked by her ability to cultivate deep connections with high-profile figures from Hollywood stars and politicians to royalty, enabling her to provide exclusive insights and stories that no other journalist could access. Her unique style, characterized by a conversational tone, candid opinions, and a knack for getting the juiciest gossip, had made her an iconic figure in American journalism. Adams is more than a columnist. She's a cultural institution known for her catchphrase, "Only in New York, kids, only in New York," and for her indelible influence on the gossip genre. Over the years, she has not only chronicled the lives of the rich and famous, but has also become a celebrity in her own right, reflecting the glamour, grit, and drama of the city she loves. Her enduring legacy lies in her unparalleled access, her fearless reporting, and her ability to continually captivate readers with the stories behind the headlines. I am so honored that she chose to sit down with me. Sitting down with somebody is a rarity in her book. We met in the offices of WABC, where she does do a radio show, but she admitted to me that she rarely steps foot in the offices. She came in, she sat with me for whatever it was, 45 minutes, half an hour, and she was obviously herself. You will hear this, but it was my honor, my pleasure to sit down with Cindy Adams.
Cindy, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. You are one of the biggest icons out there, which I know you know. So this is a huge honor, and I know it's a lot of your time. So
it's
thank
not
you.
Like I don't know you 500 years.
I know.
I already know you a long
I know,
time.
But I don't think we've ever actually met, right?
Maybe in the old days, but I'm happy to do it for you, honey.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so kind of you. So I want to go back to the beginning for a second, because I know that not a lot of people know where you came from. You began your career in the 1950s as a secretary, right? And a publicist, am I right?
No, I was not a publicist. I was not a secretary.
Oh, well, tell me what you were.
I started out as a model. Oh. I started out as an actress. I wasn't good as an actress.
Okay.
I started out as a model. I was okay. I was on many magazine covers. But what I always had, the only thing that I ever had, was a sense of humor. A sense of smart-ass humor. And then when I married a comedian by the name of Joey Adams, mm-hmm. Joey was never number one. He was never the Bob Hope of the world or the Jerry Seinfeld. But he had a number one lifestyle. He lived at the Waldorf Towers, which this was interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And he was the one who was president of all the actors. Ronald Reagan was president of the actors on the East Coast. He was president on the West Coast, Joey on the East Coast. So it was a perfect marriage.
I love that. What was one of the memories that was most fond that would kind of describe your relationship between you and Joey?
My relationship with whom?
With your husband.
I'm not sure that I can. Look, when I married Joey, he had a number one lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I was nobody. Mm-hmm. I was a model of nothing, no value. Mm-hmm. All I had was a sense of humor and an ability to write.
Right.
And I didn't like his jokes, and I told him, you should see this, you should say this, you should do the other thing. But Joey was very good to me. I was like 17, 18. He did everything for me. I mean, a chinchilla coat at Christmas.
Right.
How can you not like a guy?
Right.
So I was happy with him. He was wonderful to me.
Yeah.
However, just to keep you informed, mm-hmm. the lifestyle changed. As he was going down, mm-hmm. and he became quite ill, Alzheimer's,
yeah.
I was going up.
Right.
That was where our lives changed.
But you always remained together. You always were seen as this power couple. So in the moments where maybe nobody knew you and knew him, it reversed and people started to know you.
That's right.
And still respected him.
That's right.
For his past. I
That's
love
right.
that. I'm curious, actually, about what you think about dating and relationships now. I mean, it's so different than when it was then. And my grandmother, you know, was so young when she met my grandfather. And getting together was a totally different thing than it is now with all these dating apps and people dating for different reasons. Do you have any opinion on, you know, these single women and if it's a bad thing to be single? Or what is your thought on dating now?
I have
now?
A lot of things to say, all of which are negative. I don't like the bosom being shown. Uh-huh. I don't like what they're wearing. I don't like a back crack showing when you're wearing a dress.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I would like some of it to be respectful.
Right.
We have lost respect. Absolutely. So I don't like that.
Yeah.
I would like to have it back a little bit the way it was.
Right. What do you think of the way people meet mostly now, which is online?
It's the way it is. I'm trying to get used to new phones, television, AI. I'm trying to get used to a lot of things. But I don't like a lot of things that are happening.
Mm.
I don't like the way people talk to one another.
Yeah.
I don't like disrespect. I don't like leftism. I don't like a lot of the things that I must live with.
Okay, so let's talk about how you got into the career that you're in now. How did that job come about where you first started to write? Explain that.
Well, I remember when Joey emceed everything that was happening. He was the Toastmaster General. If any bishop became a pope, Joey was there to emcee it. Mm-hmm. I remember once we were looking at some people who were there who were elderly, and I said, why don't you say, Joey, that you remember them from the Last Supper? That was my first joke. I told him, this guy is so old, you should have met him at the Last Supper. And after that, he began to ask me, well, what would you say about this?
Right.
What would you say about that? So it started that I started to write jokes for him.
Ah, I see. And it seemed like you had a way with people. Like, it seemed like you would be the person that made someone open up that might not, or you made them feel comfortable. Am I correct in that? Like, you were around a lot of powerful people.
Yeah, I was. It wasn't all luck. It can come about to be luck now, but
right.
It wasn't. Listen, I was there with the Shah when he was dying. Mm-hmm. He asked his twin sister, Princess Ashraf, bring Cindy to the hospital. I was there when Sukarno of Indonesia lost his country.
Right.
I was there with him when they were throwing rocks. I was there. I was at many of these things. I spent my life, the early part of show business, went into the news business.
Right.
So I went from one to the other.
Right. And do you think it was because you made the, I mean, clearly these relationships were organic and real and these people trusted you. And then as we see you now, you're somebody who's reporting on the gossip and the scandal. How did you walk that fine line?
I'm not sure I know how I walked it. I was given the New York Post. I didn't know about working at the New York Post. There was a man called Earl Wilson, who you and I know, and he used to be the gossip columnist. What the hell did I know about a gossip columnist? Then he passed on. And I was having dinner with the editor-in-chief at the time, who was Rupert's first editor, very first editor in the 70s. And they said, you know, you're so smart, and you know so many people. Why don't you take over? I don't know how to take over. I don't know how to do this. Right. Joey said, I'll introduce you to everybody. I said, well, okay. That happened in 1981, honey.
Wow.
And they haven't fired me since.
Did you ever think that you might get fired because of something? No. No. What do you think? So yesterday I walked through the offices of the New York Post and page 6. Do you ever go over there? No. That's not your place. What do you think of the Post now versus how it was then?
I don't know. It's the New York Post. For me, it's New York. I've lost so many things in New York. I need some of the things that I recognize. The New York Post, if anybody ever lost the New York Post, it would be dismal for New York. If you go to the Hamptons in the summertime, you will see a huge stack of New York Posts and New York Times. The Times stack stays there. Okay. The New York Post stack goes down. You can't go to dinner in the Hamptons if you haven't read the New York Post.
That's right. And a lot of people aspire to be on page 6. Was page 6 always there? When did that start?
Page 6 was Rupert's idea.
It was.
However, when it started, it was different. It wasn't with rockers. It was with powerful people. That was the idea.
Right. Is it... I mean, what do you think about the fact that so much gossip has changed over time? Like, now we have social media that kind of, you know, determines when people are in trouble, not trouble, what a scandal is, and everyone thinks they're a journalist. You know what I mean? People get a camera in front of them, their phone in front of them, and they start talking with some sense of authority, like they know the story. Do you notice that? Does that bother you? I mean, it's so many...
Well, I'm not sure what your question is.
So, my question is, what do you think of the fact that everyone thinks that they're a journalist now? Everyone with a phone can just report on a subject like they know that person or the story. What are your thoughts on that?
It's very simple. You don't trust. That's the first thing. You don't trust. Mm-hmm. You have a very small circle of people with whom you can confer. Mm-hmm. You trust them. If you called me with something, I know you. I know who you are.
Right.
I would trust you. I would ask you questions. Mm-hmm. If you answered properly, then I would understand you know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I don't take stuff from the people out there or the people from the phone because we have lawyers.
Right.
When I write a column, it's written, it's read by 7 people before it goes to press.
Right, right.
There are lawyers. There are editors. It's like 7 people.
Right. And do you notice how different times have changed with the fact that so many younger people want to be part of gossip? I feel like they think that that's fun to be written about and be part of those stories. Whereas way back when, I mean, even when my grandparents were around or the people that you really started reporting on, those were real stories. Those were real people. Does that shock you at all?
There's no respect anywhere.
Yeah.
There is no respect for country. There's no respect for flag. There's no respect for truth. There's no respect for wardrobe. There's no respect for parents. There's no respect for a marriage covenant. There is no respect. The country has gone to hell. I love New York. I love the United States. I can live anywhere. I can afford to go anywhere I want. I will never leave New York. It's the center of the universe.
Right, right. Can you share with people that might not be familiar with how the New York you love, how you saw New York?
I don't care about anybody who doesn't love New York. What the hell do I care about you? You didn't love New York? You come from Crawl Boing, Montana? Stay there
right.
with your buffaloes. It's okay with
no,
me.
No, but I'm saying explain to people that might be listening that don't know why it's such a great place. Because so many people write about the fact that it's going to hell now. But explain to people, because you've been around New York for so long.
It's got Broadway. Mm-hmm. It's got the big wealth. Mm-hmm. It's got the state, the stock market. Mm-hmm. It's got the biggest homes in the world. It's got the richest people. It's got everything there is. You don't want to live like that? Go ahead. Live where you want in Atlanta. What do I care where you are? Stay the hell out of my city. New York is the best place in the United States of America. However, I'm not happy with the United States of America at the moment.
Right.
There's no respect for anything.
Right. So let's talk about that for a second. How do you feel about this political climate? Did you watch the debate last night?
I watched the debate, but Donald is my friend.
Yeah.
So it's a very simple situation. I know Donald almost as long as I know you.
Mm-hmm.
I've known Donald. Donald's been my friend. Donald's been there for me. The night Donald was elected, I was with him. I was standing next to him, right together in his office before he went to the hotel to claim that he'd won. This was 10:30 at night. The two of us were looking at big television screens.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, just the two of us standing together, he said, "Do you remember what Roy Cohn said?" It's a story that goes back into 1970. I met Donald for the first time. I didn't know who the hell he was. I said to him, "Who are you?" This was a Roy Cohn party. Mm-hmm. I said, "Who are you?" He says, I'm Donald Trump. I said, "Well, what's a Donald Trump?" And Roy Cohn said, "One day, this guy is going to own New York." That is exactly what he whispered, Donald, in my ear the night he was elected president.
Wow. Do you think even he ever thought he could be president way back when?
Yeah.
You do.
I think he thought he'd own the world.
Yeah.
Hey, Misunderstood listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line founded by the ever fabulous, ever iconic Jennifer Aniston. Ever feel like your hair just isn't living up to its potential? The secret might lie just beneath the surface. It starts in your scalp. That's right. Healthy, gorgeous hair starts with a clean, nourished scalp. And that's where Lola V's newest product, the Exfoliate and Detox Scalp Shampoo, comes in. This isn't your average shampoo. It's a two-in-one game changer, a scalp scrub and clarifying shampoo featuring a unique blend of activated charcoal powder, bamboo extract, and gentle AHAs to get rid of all that gunk weighing down your hair, leaving your scalp clean and perfectly balanced. Let's not forget those vegetable ceramides and B vitamins. They're there to soothe irritation and reduce flaking. Plus, with ingredients like alfalfa sprouts and pea peptides, you're on track to thicker, fuller looking hair. Love the science behind great hair care? Lola V's got you covered with their proprietary B-Pro 3 bond technology that ensures your locks are protected from damage. And the best part, this brilliance in a bottle is formulated for all hair types and textures, especially those dealing with dry, itchy scalps. And here is a treat for you, our awesome listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaV.com. Just use the code Rachel, spelled R-A-C-H-E-L, at checkout. I mean, if you're taking any hair care advice, why not listen to anyone besides the woman who gave us the real Rachel? And one more time, I will just say, I absolutely love this new product. You've got to try it out, the Exfoliate and Detox Scalp Shampoo. I tried it, and honestly, I felt a difference in my hair volume, and I use it with the intensive repair treatment. It's truly transformative. It's like a spa-like experience. So again, check out all the Lola V products on lolav.com. That's LOLAVIE.com. And as our loyal listeners, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code Rachel at checkout, spelled R-A-C-H-E-L at checkout. Go to LOLAVIE.com with code Rachel.
I know, and tell me if I'm wrong, because I saw this in the documentary, but he did something very kind for you after your husband passed.
He did several things that are kind for me. several of which I won't mention. Mm-hmm. But I moved into a Doris Duke's apartment, mm-hmm. who she was then the richest woman in the world. Her apartment on Park Avenue, I now own. I bought it. And when I bought it, Joey was very fragile. It was with my money. He was too fragile to do anything. Mm-hmm. Donald came in with his team to put in a security system, to make sure I was safe, mm-hmm. to do all of that. Donald took his plane and allowed me to sprinkle my husband's ashes over New York. Donald has done a lot of things for me, right. some of which I can't mention. Will I forget a friend? No. I won't forget an enemy, but I will never forget a friend. Right.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
So I think a lot of people don't see him that way. So I want to ask you, as someone that knows him, and he can say a lot of things that are polarizing, but as someone that knows him, you believe that he can, that he is a powerful and capable person of running the country?
You really think that nobody ever in the world who voted for Kamala, she is so great, she didn't get one human being alive to put their names down to vote for her. So what are you asking me?
Right. Okay. Well, I know the answer. All right. You've interviewed numerous leaders and celebrities. Was there someone who is the most intriguing person that you've ever spoken to?
But I've interviewed all the kings and queens of the world. Everybody has a story. Mm-hmm. It's not the Hollywood people that have the story. It's the kings and queens. I mean, I was with Sukarno when he lost the country. I was with the Shah when he lost his life. These are the people who created the world. Yes, I find them very, very interesting. I was with Gotti when he went to jail.
Yeah.
I was with you. I know you.
Yeah, you do. Were there any stories that after you became friendly with somebody that you felt like you had to protect them and you didn't want the story
sure,
to
maybe
go
out? There's a story about you I'm not going to tell.
Yeah, probably.
That's always possible. It's always possible. Don't push me.
Right.
It's always possible.
Okay. I know that you were very close to a lot of people that we know of. Joan Rivers, Barbara Walters.
At one point, Joan Rivers and Barbara Walters and I were going into the Plaza Hotel to buy three contiguous apartments. 1, 2, 3. We'd each have the keys, and we were all going to work and move into each other's apartments. That's when the Plaza first went to have private apartments.
Right.
And then We lost one, and then we lost the other.
Yeah.
But that's how close we were. When I, 10 years ago, I was in the hospital. The day I came out of the hospital, the very damn day I came out of the hospital, Joan Rivers came in with her scrapbook. I had a nurse with a thing in my arm, and they were feeding me plasma, and she was talking about her new show. Hey, that's the way it was.
Right. Who are you still spending time with? Like, what we don't know about you, who are you gossiping with on the phone at night? Who are you?
I'm not. That sounds like girlfriends, but I do this professionally. Mm-hmm. I don't want the girlfriends. I have to check who you are. I have to check your lawyer. I have to check the person who told you to tell me this story.
Right.
Because we, as I said, there are like seven people check a column before it goes to print.
Yeah.
All of that.
Right. So are there people that you're still very close with? I mean, what's your life like when you're not working?
Well, what am I doing now? Tonight, I'm going to go to dinner with John Catsimatidis.
Very nice.
Who owns WABC, mm-hmm. and I'm doing this on WABC. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, I'm going to theater. There's a show opening. I forgot the name of it. I don't care either. I'll probably leave at the first act.
Right.
But that's that what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Saturday, I'm having dinner with Judge Judy, who's my closest friend.
Right.
I've known her for 35 years. So it's a very pleasant, nice existence.
Right. Do you still have your dogs?
Of course.
You always have at least one?
I always have a dog.
Okay. Who do you have now?
Jellybean.
Jellybean. Okay.
Every dog has to have a J because my mother was Jessica.
Okay.
My husband was Joey. So it's always J. One dog was named Jazzy. One was Juicy. This is Jellybean.
Amazing.
He's a Yorkie. Mm-hmm. He's 5 pounds. He pees 12 pounds.
Of course.
And I love him madly.
Yes. Talk about your love for animals. You do a lot. You've written some books about your animals.
I was on the ASPCA board.
Yeah.
I left it. I had every year for 11 years, I did a blessing of the animals in Christ Church, which is 61st Street. Mm-hmm. And then we had the pandemic. And we couldn't do it anymore. You couldn't put 800 people and animals jammed in any longer.
Yeah.
So I stopped doing it. But I love animals.
Yeah. Is it, I mean, it's interesting to see what is going on right now with so many animals, especially after the pandemic. People just drop them off. There's an overload at the rescues. It's terrible.
It makes me very nervous when I read about it.
Yeah.
They've thrown animals out of a car.
I know, it's terrible.
At the end of a summer when they come back to their apartment and they're not allowed to keep animals or something like that.
Yeah.
I know. I love animals. I love my Yorkie.
Yeah, it breaks my heart. Do you have, I know it's hard to think of this right off the, you know, cuff, but are there any behind the scenes stories from your time at the New York Post that you can recall that would be interesting and fun for us to hear? I mean, people, you know, again, there are so many people out there right now that forget being aspiring journalists. They just, their job is to get on their phone and do social media about topics. And I think you are the person that they put on a pedestal. They can't even imagine ever meeting you, hearing you, talking to you. Are there things like behind the scenes that you could share a little bit?
Actually, I'm not so sure that I can come up with them because there are many people like that. But you can't trust them.
Yeah.
There's no way to check them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to prove that what they're saying actually happened.
Right.
They won't give you the name of the lawyer who told them that.
Right.
So those kind of stories I avoid.
Yeah.
I only use what I can check.
Are there some stories that have stood out to you over time? I know you've done so many covers of the New York Post. Are there scandals that to you were like, oh my God, this was the greatest scandal ever because it gave me so much material?
Probably, but at the moment that you're asking, while I'm looking at your hair
right.
and your teeth and your skin, I can't really think of that.
Okay, well,
so you'll call me and I'll try to figure out something. Yeah, I'll call you.
But, like, let me go through some. Well, mine, obviously. but there were some others. Like, do you remember the Amy Buttafuoco story where she shot her... the boyfriend. That was a big one.
Yeah, I was on that.
Right.
Well, can I remember that? You're talking about 50 years of stories.
I know.
I can't remember where I was Thursday.
I know.
I mean, this is all the stuff you're asking me.
Right, right.
Yes, of course I remember. I remember Buttafuoco.
Yeah.
I remember the shooting. I remember all that. But unless you bring it up, I won't remember.
Do you remember? Okay, I'm going to bring up some that were my generation. Do you remember Lorena Bobbitt? That had a lot of headlines to it. I just interviewed her a couple weeks ago. She's still alive.
What is she doing? Why would you interview her?
Because she's someone who is reduced to a headline. People forgot. Like, if in this day and age, if it happened now, I think they would have treated her different than they did then.
Where would you find Lorena Bobbitt?
Where did I find her?
Yes.
Or I spent a year trying to find her because she changed her name. But I found her. I went to Washington, D.C.
You would spend a year looking for Lorena Bobbitt?
I did.
I mean, why didn't you do a president, a king? Why a Lorena Bobbitt?
That's a clickbait, you know? That's what people listen to. Plus, I remember when it happened to her, and I was interested to know why she did that. I wanted to hear her side, which is why I have my podcast. When I did your show, I was telling you about my podcast. And it's about people that... are misunderstood, people that maybe have a bigger story than what you read about.
She wasn't misunderstood, honey.
She was just a criminal.
Listen, that's another story. But these are people who are sickos.
Right.
I mean,
okay, you could be right, but I wanted to hear it from her.
Fine.
I mean,
fine.
It was a little interesting.
So okay. You want me to tell you sicko stories? I'm not going to do
no,
that.
No. Okay, that's fine.
If you pay me, maybe.
All right. You have spent a lot. You've spent a lifetime, basically.
How long is this? This is 3 hours.
We're almost done. I want to talk about some of the things about New York. That's made it unique. We were talking before we started the show about the fact that you knew that my grandparents had El Morocco, one of the best nightclubs, great to hobnob, probably great to get some stories. There was a lot of celebrities there. But that was a totally different time in New York than it is now. And it's just so interesting that the people are different and the things are different. But can you share a little bit about that lifetime, about what New York was like in the heyday of New York?
Okay. New York, I would go out and walk 8 blocks to dinner by myself or walk home after dinner.
Yeah.
I have a car and driver. Mm-hmm. Now I won't walk late at night.
Right.
I won't do that. I have doormen, triple men. Listen, I live on Park Avenue. I walked out of a Park Avenue building the other day. There was an elevator man to help me. There was a doorman to help me. There was my car and driver waiting for me. And we had to step over a white guy who was flat out in front of a Park Avenue building. He was alive, but he was sleeping flat out on Park Avenue. You want to ask me how Park Avenue has changed? How about that? So we stepped over him. With the maintenance I am paying, I really don't want to step over a white guy dead flat out. But thank you for asking.
Okay. We're almost done. Last important question. I want to know about your personal legacy. Is there a way that you hope people remember you and gossip and journalism 20 years from now?
Are they going to remember you?
Well, I mean, I have things I hope they remember me for. But, you know, you never know. I'm just curious if you want to be known for gossip, if you want to be known for being a loving wife, an animal advocate. I'm just curious if you think about it.
I don't think I'm going to go down in history in any way. I think I will be part of a legacy of this part of the world when New York was exciting. I'm not sure what's going to happen to me. Right now, I'm worried about a close-up, and I don't want your camera too close. Right. So leave me alone,
right.
Okay?
Okay. All right, so let's do last thing. Lightning round questions, just one-word answers. Very quick. Painless, okay? Favorite restaurant in New York?
I can't think of it.
Okay. Your all-time favorite person to interview? I asked you this a little bit, but if you can remember one of the many.
Well, Reagan wasn't bad. Clinton, the night I met Mrs. Clinton, The only thing she wanted to ask me about was Donald Trump, because Donald Trump had married the night before his second wife. Mm-hmm. So now she's going around peeing on him. However, I remember when all she wanted to know about was my relationship with Donald. Things change.
Yes, they do. Favorite neighborhood in New York City?
Park Avenue.
Do you have a pet memory or a favorite pet?
My dog?
Yeah.
I would kill for my dog.
Do you have a favorite?
I loved him more than I loved my husband. How much more do you want me to tell you? Okay. I adored my dog.
Okay. Favorite place to write?
I always write in the same place. I have an office in my home. Mm-hmm. I don't go to the post. I do it at home.
Okay. Favorite book?
I read every single thing that's a mystery. I don't care who writes it. You could write a mystery. I'll read it.
Okay. Favorite guilty pleasure?
Tweezing.
I like that too. Do you watch TV? Favorite show?
I don't watch TV a lot.
Okay. Anyone that you haven't interviewed that you would like to, or that you regret not interviewing?
Suggest.
You want me to suggest?
Yeah.
Obama.
I've seen him. I've interviewed him. I have no interest in interviewing Obama. Thank you.
Interesting.
But I have met him and interviewed him.
Netanyahu.
Netanyahu. I have been with him. I haven't interviewed him.
Okay. But so there's no one in the back of your head like, oh, I wish that I got to.
No, because where I am, sooner or later, I will meet them. I will interview them.
Right.
It's not like it's difficult for me.
Right.
Even if they think I'm not important enough, they will want to.
Right. Last question. If they were going to make a movie of your life, is there an actress that you've always wanted to play you?
An actress?
Mm-hmm.
You want to play me?
Sure. I'm not an actress. I don't know. Is there someone that you feel like would be good?
No, but I want somebody very gorgeous, very young.
Right.
Not a wrinkle in their
right.
face.
Fabulous
That's what
body.
I know. If you can find it, they can do it.
Okay. Where can people see your column?
New York Post. They can hear me every Sunday on WABC. I'm picked up everywhere, God knows where. But that's it.
Thank you, Cindy. I really appreciate you.
So was I boring for you?
No, not at all. You were fun. You were fun.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Misunderstood.